I hate when my husband works late, being at home, alone at night, hearing every little creak. It's uncomfortable. I thought I was just being paranoid. Then my girlfriend said she felt the same way when her husband travels. Until they had what she calls their Vivint talk. Vivint, my friend calls it the best home security system out there. It's super easy to use and fit right into our budget. And I love my video cameras. I can see what's going on in and around my home right from my computer or smartphone. It's actually kind of funny. I told my husband, if you're going to be traveling or working late, I'm getting Vivint. And it's made all the difference.
Call now. Not only is installation free, you'll get up to $1,500 worth of Vivint security cameras and equipment today at no charge. Seriously, $1,500. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Call 877-776-3430. 877-776-3430. 877-776-3430. Restrictions apply. 48 or 60-month agreement at minimum $49.99 per month required. Not available in Louisiana. See Vivint.com for license numbers.
And now, get motivated. Get real. Get there. With Get It Together Girl Radio and your host, Karen Beach.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another rousing edition of Get It Together Girl Radio. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have a subscription to Cosmopolitan magazine? Cosmo. Now, you might have said, you probably said no. So let me ask you another question. Have you ever picked it up and ran through it really quickly while you're in the checkout line because you saw a title of an article that you really wanted to look at, but you didn't want to buy it? So you just kind of ran through it at the checkout line. And maybe, just maybe, you got into a longer line so that you could do it. Okay, I'm going to be honest, I've done it. Or, you know, it's the magazine you pick up when you're at the hairdresser. Anyway, however you look at it, I know that you know that Cosmo magazine has a lot of articles for, well, a lot of sexy stuff, number one. But every year they have Bachelors of the Year. I believe they have Bachelors of the Month. And if you've ever seen some of those bachelors, here's another question. Have you ever contacted one? Have you ever really thought about contacting one? Thought, ooh, that guy's hot. I should contact him. Anyway, whether you have or you haven't, or whether you're willing to admit to it or not, a lot of women have. And that is how my guest today, Michael Modzelewski, I'm going to have to check with him about that. That's a little bit of his story. So we're going to talk to him about how he went from being a solitary bachelor living out in the Alaskan wilderness to being a Cosmo bachelor and an Alaskan men bachelor, and then eventually becoming man of the year. He received over 5,000 letters from women all over the world. So maybe you didn't do it. Maybe you know someone who did. Maybe you thought about it. Anyway, people were doing it because he got over 5,000 letters. And it's incredible enough, out of those 5,000 letters, he actually met and married the woman that is currently his wife. So he chronicles it all in his book, Wildlife, The Misadventures of a Cosmo Bachelor. And he's even been on Oprah twice. I mean, you got to listen to a guy that's been on Oprah. You know, he's been blessed by her Oprahness. So I want to talk to him, find out about how he found his wife and that sea of women that contacted him, and what tips he would have for women that are considering dating. So without any further ado, let me introduce Michael. Michael, how are you?
Karen, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Now, before I go any further, because I hate it when people misspell my name because it's spelled a little bit differently, pronounce your last name for me.
Well, it's Mojo Leski, and Mojo has kind of been my nickname. It's a short version of Mojo Leski, and Austin Powers stole that name, you know, that word for his movies.
Yeah, and he talks about having a little bit of imagination. Okay,
there you
so
go.
That's my bad. Don't get me started on Austin Powers, because we could be here all night with me going, don't make you horny, baby. Don't make you horny. Okay, so now that everyone that's listening has now turned off turned off the podcast, hello to a fellow Clevelander.
I didn't know you're from Cleveland.
I saw you were from Cleveland. I'm like, I have to mention that you're from Cleveland. Now, the question I ask every Clevelander, Browns fan?
Well, my dad was, he played for the Browns. And this was back in the day before they made the big money. And,
yeah,
he was with the Cleveland Browns. And my uncle, there were two brothers, Big Mo and Little Mo. And my uncle Dick played with the New York Giants. And he got traded to Cleveland in 1964. And that's the last time that the Browns have won a championship.
Now, Jim Brown was there back then, wasn't he?
Jim Brown took my father's job away. They played the same position. And one day my dad came home. Whenever he had something important to say to my mother, they went into the bedroom. And, of course, little kids, you know, we would suction cup our ear against the door to try to hear what they were saying. And I'll never forget the day they closed the bedroom door and he said, Mary, my mom, his wife, I better look for another line of work. There's a rookie from Syracuse in the Cleveland Browns training camp named Jim Brown. This man is Superman. He's not only going to take my job, but he's going to break every record there is. So that name kind of takes me a long way. Whenever I have a summer gig on a cruise ship where I'm the naturalist and guest speaker, and people come out from Cleveland every week, we must get 30, 40, 50 people. And I'm glad I didn't shorten my name as an author, because so many people come up remembering my dad.
Wow.
And, you know, I love the last name, even though it's hard to pronounce, because a lot of people do remember him.
That's a great story. And people nowadays, kids growing up nowadays, don't realize that sports wasn't always this, you know, avalanche of money. You know, a lot
right.
of times, you know, in the off season, people had to get other jobs. You know?
Yeah, and that's almost the way it should be. It's a kid's game that kind of got a bit corrupted by all the millions of dollars. And, you know, and when my dad and uncle played, it was for the love of the game. And it had a purity and an innocence to it.
Yeah, that is long gone. But this is not a sports show, so let's get back. I mean, we could talk about sports. I could be like, well, what do you think about LeBron? And switch over to basketball, but we're not going to do that today. You know, that'll be another show. Maybe I'll do a sports show. I'll have you back on. But you have an incredible story. First of all, tell me how you got from Cleveland to living alone in the wilderness of Alaska.
Well, you know, my mother planted the seeds, and my dad, I had two different directions growing up. I have a mother, she's an Italian mother, and I don't call her a mother, I call her a smother, because I think Italian mothers, Jewish mothers, probably all mothers, are a bit, you know, smothering. And my mom's attitude was, don't live, you might die. I worry from the womb to the tomb. Oh, you know. So she was very much trying to, you know, hold me back, protect me, and, you know, rightly so, because it's a cold, cruel world out there. Whereas my dad was the opposite. His energy was, and he would come home and he'd say, the only four-letter word I don't want to hear in this house is can't. You can do anything in life. Go do it. Just set your mind to it and work hard. But mm-hmm. The great thing about my mom is every night as I went to sleep, little kid, 6, 7, 8 years old, Cleveland, Ohio, she would read me to sleep. with all these great adventure books, like, you know, Grimm's Fairy Tales, King Arthur, The Round Table, The Knights of the Round Table. And one night she picked up a book by Jack London called The Call of the Wild.
Yes,
and I do
I
not know why
well.
That particular story resonated with, you know, a city slicker growing up in Cleveland. And she told me that when my eyes were closed and my chest was moving up and down, in other words, when I was sleeping, she kept reading. And it's been proven that if you want to learn a language, let that tape recorder run all night. Because our subconscious never really sleeps. There's always a little light on, you know, an awareness light. So she read me, you know, Jack London, and that planted the seeds to find wilderness. And then, long story short, I graduate from college. I go out to Colorado. I'm living in Aspen just to be a ski bum for a year. And I go to a film revival of movies about the Wild West. And there was a great film with Robert Redford called Jeremiah Johnson. And it's about, in the 1880s, a young guy who wants to be a mountain man. So he goes up into the Rocky Mountains to live and learn from the native people and dies about 20 times. But I came out of that movie, and, you know, Aspen's about 7,000 feet up. It was a winter night. The Milky Way was blazing. And I just beamed out to the universe. I want that life. I want that experience to be that close to nature and to test myself down to the marrow. And it's like, I really believe if you beam out an intention to the universe and you do it with all of your might and personality, it becomes magnetic and it attracts reality. You know, it really helps other people come into your life and help make it happen. Sure enough, I bumped into a total stranger, literally bumped into her back at a design conference. There were 1,000 people in a meadow watching hang gliders come off the top of the mountain. Why didn't I bump into the back 2 feet to the left, 2 feet to the right? I bump into the back of a beautiful woman named Genevieve. She's an architect, French-Canadian from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And we skipped out of the conference. We fell in love. We made love up in the mountains, drank Beaujolais wine. She went back to Vancouver. I got a letter a day saying, come and see me. I'd never been west of Colorado. I stuck out my thumb, hitchhiked all the way to Los Angeles, all the way up the West Coast, 2 weeks with Genevieve on our sailboat, sailing in the Inside Passage, which is one of the most beautiful areas of the world. You've got 14,000-foot mountains coming right out of the ocean. Killer whales escorted our boat. We went back to our place. The last night I'm due to fly home, she gets a phone call from the man who owned a wilderness island and right near where we were sailing north. And 9 years before that, he got Genevieve's number at a party when he could rarely leave that wilderness island. But, you know, this is another freaky thing. He wanted to take Genevieve out for dinner, but, you know, Genevieve says, Will, I remember you. You're the man that lives in the wilderness, and you play your guitar to the killer whales at night, and they come into the bay and sing to you. You take off your coat to do your garden, and the bees make hives in your pockets. You live up there in paradise. I'd love to go out with you, but I have company. Michael's here. Now, Karen, 99.9% of men would have said, oh, that you have another guy there? Okay, I'll catch you in another 9 years. Will, my whole future hung in the balance of that phone call, and he said, all right, the three of us will go out. We went for Chinese dinner. Genevieve was ignored. I was practically grabbing Will across the table by the lapels because he had Jeremiah Johnson. He was living that life, Jack London, Call of the Wild. So he's in a hurry. He goes, Mike, got to go. I'm giving you a formal invitation. Come see my wild island, 200 miles north, 100 years back in time. Will leaves. And I'm just stunned that I could actually go see it with, you know, his blessing, his invitation. Chinese dinner, the fortune cookies come. I crack open my fortune cookie at the end of the meal, thinking nothing of it. It reads, you're going on a journey to an exotic land.
Wow.
I mean, do you need a hammer to hit you over the head? So, you know, bumping into Genevieve's back, she connects me to Will. you know, with two guys on a date with one girl, which, you know, would rarely happen. All the stars and planets lined up. So that's how I got to this wild island, you know. And I couldn't continue my relationship with Genevieve because I moved further north. So I call her now. Every New Year's Eve, and I thank her for giving me my life, for connecting me to my future. And I really believe there's angels on earth. They might not have wings, but they introduce us to a spouse. They put us on our life path. You know, there are people that are connectors, that are emissaries all around us.
Wow. Now, you're in the wilderness. And in another weird twist of fate, how did you go from living in the wilderness to being cosmopolitan, Bachelor of the Month, and then Man of the Year?
Well, you know, I call my life La Vida Loca because it's too crazy to even make up. And the weird thing is about that Inside Passage wilderness of British Columbia and Alaska that's 1,000 miles from Puget Sound, Washington, all the way up to Glacier Bay. There are no women up there. In fact, the Alaska government, about a decade ago, they were curious as to the ratio between the sexes of its citizens. So they sent surveyors out into the bush, out into the wilds, which is most of that place, you know, the very cities up there. And the surveyors came back shocked because in the Alaska-BC wilderness, for every 10 men, there's only one female. So the 2 years I'm living out there on that island, mostly by myself, I am howling at the moon for loneliness. I mean, there wasn't a female around within miles. So 2 years with no dates, I write my first book about all the magical experiences of studying killer whales and eating blackberries with a bear at the top of the island. It was like the Garden of Eden. And, you know, I knew nothing about being a writer, and sometimes ignorance is bliss. I sent it, my manuscript, unsolicited to New York City, to HarperCollins, which is one of the biggest publishers in the world. And they ended up publishing that book. And Helen Gurley Brown got wind of this new author and saw my picture of a sled dog kissing me. And for reasons to this day I'll never figure out, as you mentioned, every month they have a single guy in the magazine. And the weird thing about Cosmo, it goes into 100 countries around the world, translated into 87 languages. So Helen Gurley Brown, for some reason, chose me as Mr. November. I came back from the island to do some publicity for the book, and there were mailbags reeking of perfume. All the I's in the letters were dotted with hearts, and there was purple and pink ink. And it was every man's fantasy. It was like I'm going from famine to feast, no dates in the wilderness. And like the master of the universe said, hey, kid, the candy shop is open. Walk in, the lids are off all the jars, help yourself to as many flavors for as long as you want. I mean, it just was like what every man dreams of.
Okay, so you got 5,000 letters. You can't go out with 5,000 women. So
I tried.
That's
Jared, well, it was so crazy. It was like I didn't sleep. I didn't work. But you know, you hit the wall after a point. In fact, there's a chapter in the book Wildlife called Sugar Shock. It's like eating tiramisu, you know, every hour. And at a point, I just got overloaded. But you know, when it first happens, I'm a red-blooded male, and when you have, you know, naked pictures coming and, you know, happy ending and this and that, it was like, whoa, I kind of went in that direction for a little while, and then I pulled back, and I said, I need more than this. I need some substance, you know. And you know the weirdest thing is I discovered and learned about myself that I got just as excited talking. When you have that mind melt, I call it, when you're having a conversation with the opposite sex and the time-space continuum disappears, and you just go off, and there's that excitement level of real connection, real mind spiritual conversation, you know, because all of my buddies took over the mail, and they set up mission control in this den. One guy answered the door when all the flowers and the gifts were coming. Somebody else did the computer where he crunched all the data, and they screened all letters, and they would send me out on these dates. And one day, there was a pile of pictures and mail off in the corner, and it was a reject pile. And I said, what are all these girls over here? And they said, oh, they didn't make the cut. And I said, give me that pile. I'm going to take them home, and I want to see why you guys didn't think, you know, that they would make the cut. And it was going out with a pre-med student who was studying to be a doctor that I kind of had that experience of that mind melt that taught me I'm just as excited connecting that way as physically. I mean, it was such an education. In fact, I have a literary agent at that time, and Michael Larson said, dude, Sigmund Freud asked, what do women really want? You have a shot of finding out, and you should study these women like you studied the wildlife in Alaska. Use the scientific method. Of course, that went out the window on the first date.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to be – I mean, the scientific method implies objectivity. And I don't know.
Yeah, and it leaves out emotions and mystery and all that, all the wonderful things that you creatures are, yeah.
Now, here's a question. You did all of this dating. What advice would you have for women that are looking for someone?
Well, number one, I would say don't settle. And I really believe that we attract what we are, that we create our reality from within. And I really believe that we manifest that partner. And depending on what level of development whether you're a man, woman, doesn't matter, where you are with your soul growth, your mental growth, where you are inside is what you mirror, you know, almost that magnetic attraction outside. And we create our reality like a movie director. So I would say, you know, don't settle. And the biggest thing is just have to be real. All this BS of game playing. In fact, a lot of men come up and they go, dude, what's the best pickup line? And I say, it's one word, hello.
Yeah.
You're just genuinely yourself and let your soul shine through. And I think, you know, that works for either sex. And all this, you know, playa and all this, you know, game playing and everything is just BS. And I like to tell people that you know that you're with the right partner when it's as easy as breathing, when you don't have to be anybody but yourself. And I discovered that, to me, you know you're in love, and it could be a soulmate when that person's happiness is essential to your own, when you're both thinking of the other person.
Wow. That's so true. So you talked about your book, and I was intrigued by the fact that you said that your mom, your Italian mother, the smother, isn't really a fan of your book. What does she not like about it?
Well, you know, it's funny, and I'm glad you mentioned that. I was so blessed to get, you know, an author wants to get blurbs, which are statements from other authors to put on the front cover. And, I mean, the god and goddess of the literary world, Pat Conroy, who wrote The Prince of Tides, Barbara Streisand made that movie, directed it, and just about every book he wrote was turned into a film. Pat Conroy wrote a statement. Amy Tan, who wrote The Joy Luck Club.
Joy Luck Club,
she's a goddess. She wrote a statement. But the statement that sells more books is for my mother, because the blurb we put on the front cover, and this is my mom talking, oh, my God, what did I raise? So her objection to the book, and you know what was freaky, is when the girls were coming left and right, and it was right in the middle of the Cosmo experience, and they would track me down. I mean, I had an unlisted phone number, but, I mean, you guys are better than the FBI. When, you know, you set your sights on finding something, you know, a woman can find the needle in the haystack. So, you know, the phone would ring constantly, and I'd pick it up, and it would be Mandy or Desiree. And the interesting thing was none of the Cosmo girls had names like Jane, Sue, or Mary. It's like I think their mothers read too many romance books, because they were all Mandy, you know, Desiree. They had those kind of crazy names. So I pick up the phone one day, and I hear this voice going, "Hi, Michael. This is," you know, and I'm going, "Mom, is that you?" And she goes, "Oh, I didn't think you'd recognize me." And she goes, "What has become of you?" She goes, "Your brothers and sisters are all married, and they have kids, and they've settled down. And you have turned into this bachelor." And the way she said bachelor, you know, and it was like the devil. And I go, "Mom, what's wrong with being a bachelor? What's wrong with, you know, being single?" So, I think, too, it was, you know, I did write a lot of the sex scenes in the book, and I think that kind of bothered her a little bit because she's kind of conservative, Catholic, Italian, you know, so.
Yeah, you're close to your mother. I'm a daddy's girl. And literally, there have been things I've done in my life that I've written about, and actually things I've done on this show, or people that have approached me, and I'm like, no, because my dad might hear that.
Right.
I don't want to offend my dad. You know, I don't even have a boyfriend, and that's a whole other show. But if I
you forgot, know what was funny, Karen, too, is that I said, "Mom, how did I get here? How did my brothers and sisters get here?" It was because of sex. So, you know, we're born naked into this world. We leave naked. What is the big hang-up in America? I mean, you know, and this is kind of one of my pet peeves, is you can watch somebody's head being blown off in slow motion with, you know, the bullets flying out of the clip, glinting in the sun. In other words, violence to me is pornographic, not sex. It's the most beautiful thing on earth when it's done with love between a man and a woman. And if we show a naked breast, you know, during the Super Bowl halftime show, Janet Jackson. But when you go to Europe, I mean, God, there's naked men and women selling, you know, commercials, and kids are watching. Look at all the statuary and David in Italy, and they don't have the hang-ups that we do.
No, they don't have the hang-ups that we do. And if I get married and we're ever staying at my stepmom's house, it's not going down. I'm just telling you, right now, it's not happening in that house with my dad. It's just not going to happen. So I guess that's like my big hang up. But, Michael, this has been great, and we're almost out of time. Can you believe it?
Wow. Flew by.
It really did. Again, outside of knowing yourself, what advice would you, in attracting what you are, what advice would you have for women who are looking to put their foot maybe back in the dating pool?
I would say that you have to know what you want first, because if you project what you want, I mean, whether you sit down with a pen and a piece of paper or, you know, your iPad, and just make a list of qualities that you find most attractive. And, I mean, even rank them. And, you know, what's interesting is sense of humor. Oftentimes for women, whether it's a Cosmo magazine poll, that sense of humor will be, you know, like number one or two in a man that a woman's looking for, even over looks, you know. So I would just say find the qualities you want in a man, and just project those. But so many times I think in the dating scene, women and men, they just go out there not knowing what they want. And then they get strung out, they get strung along. So if you're clear in yourself what you want, then that will manifest.
And I think you need to be clear below the surface level, because
exactly.
You can talk to a lot of women that say he needs to be this tall, he needs to have this much money, he needs to be college educated, but they never get down to who he is at his core. Once you strip off all of the titles and the letters after the name and the bank account, who is he? You know, and it's important. Since
well, you know what? That is so true. And what I tell guys, I go, yeah, we all know about the sex thing. I mean, it's a biological drive. It's a part of us. It's one of the joys in life. But, dude, you better kiss her soul. If you kiss her soul first, if you light her up mentally and spiritually, you will have the best sex that you couldn't even dream of. But see, so many guys, and I think women as well, they're in a hurry. They get stuck on the surface. But you got to go deep. You got to kiss her soul or vice versa and you know, light them up internally on the mental, spiritual level. Then the physical, wow, comes 1,000%, and it comes with deep meaning.
Wow, Michael, that is going to be your last word because it's a great one to end this discussion on, and it's gone so fast. Thank you, listeners, for hanging in there while we talked Cleveland sports at the beginning. But I really appreciate you being on the show, Michael. Your book is Wild Life, The Misadventures of a Cosmo Bachelor. And thank you for your time. Your book is on Amazon, anywhere books are sold. Wild Life, The Misadventures of a Cosmo Bachelor. Go and pick it up. And thank you so much for stopping by my little show.
Karen, I want to thank you. It's an honor to be on your show. You are a shining star with everything you've done in your life. You're a great inspiration to women and men as well. And it's an absolute honor to speak with you.
All right. I will hopefully I'll have you back, but I will leave with these two words. Go Browns.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
All right, Michael. Thank you so much.
Karen, thank you, and have a wonderful night. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
And that was Michael Mojoleski. I'm so glad I asked him how to pronounce his name because I would have butchered it. His book, Wild Life, The Misadventures of a Cosmo Bachelor, Bachelor of the Month, and Man of the Year from Cosmos, How He Met His Wife. It's a fascinating book, and if you're on the fence about a beach read, just know that his mother's response was, oh my God. So right there, could be a good reason to pick it up. So with that, I'm going to say goodbye. Have a great afternoon and or evening, whatever time it is that you're listening. And I, Karen Beach, will talk to you soon.
Want more Get It Together Girl? Visit Karen's Facebook page at Get It Together Girl Media. Get It Together Girl workbooks are available exclusively through Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. You can also purchase the books through her website at GetItTogetherGirlMedia.com.